Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a great call planned for you. The call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes for today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericlofholm.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on Facebook. We have a Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. And you can click on the link in your email, or you can just type it in directly. Go to facebook.com/groups/sales.tech.program. You can also search for it in the search bar or add it to your favorites so you can find it easily. And if for whatever reason you click on the link and you're not able to get into the group, it's probably because the group is set up as a secret group and you need to be added to the group. And so if that's the case, you can send me an email message and I'll follow up with you. You can also access the audio and video recordings on our membership page, and that would be out at salestechsystems.com. And let me pull up the link here. Of course, when you need the link, it's not accessible. I'll come back and give you the link for that a little bit later, but it is in the email message as well. And in addition to that, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems to generate leads and earn sales. There are 12 modules of content, and today we're going to be talking about opt-in pages. Now, as we get started here, I want you to just take a quick inventory about whether you have any opt-in pages. Do you have a web page where people can go out and opt-in? So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to go grab that link, and I want you to post it out in the Facebook group. So again, go to the Sales Technology Training Program group and then share a link out there out to your opt-in page. Opt-in page, by the way, is also called a lead capture page. Some people also call it a landing page. So if you have one of those, if you have a place where people can go opt-in, then go share that now. All right, so why do you need to set up an opt-in page? Well, if you want more leads in your business, then you need to implement strategies that are going to help you to get leads. And, you know, what is a lead, first of all? A lead is simply a prospect. It's a potential customer or client. And for many business owners, one of the challenges that they have is they don't have enough of the right people to talk to. There are people all over the place. But the question is, are they the right people for you? And so one of the things you want to do online is to be able to attract people in and have them opt into your email marketing system. And that's going to give you an opportunity to be able to follow up over time. So how are you leveraging email in your business? Are you using email in a way that supports your business? A lot of people, they have an email marketing system, but they're not doing enough with it. They're not sending out enough email messages. So part of what you have to do is come up with a strategy for using email in your business, and that way, then you have a reason to be building your list. You want to build your email list over time, because the more people that you have on your list, the more people that you can communicate out to. And not only that, but also the more people that you can influence. So one of the things that you want to accomplish in your business is to be able to influence people to take action. If you want to build your business, then you need to have a way that you can influence people. And not only just influence people one at a time. In working with Eric Lofholm International, Eric, of course, teaches strategies for using sales scripts. And so sales scripts are very influential in reaching people one at a time. You can also apply scripts to videos. You can apply them to other content online. And if you want to be able to reach more people all at once, then you need to create leverage. You need to be able to communicate with people, multiple people at once. And so email marketing is a great way to do this. So if you want to have an opt-in page, you're going to need an email marketing system. I'm working with a client right now, and he is a business coach. And he is setting up a teleseminar. It's his focus in particular is around leadership. And so he's going to do a teleseminar on leadership. And in order for us to set up that page, we need to utilize his email marketing system. And he uses AWeber. And so Aweber gives us the opportunity to be able to create a web form that we can take and then put on that teleseminar registration page. And by the way, an event registration page is an opt-in page, because when they fill out that form, they're opting into your email list. So what kind of email marketing systems are there out there that you'll need to be able to utilize if you want to have a create an opt-in page? Well, I just mentioned Aweber. There's also Constant Contact and iContact. There's MailChimp, Infusionsoft, CoolerWeb, One Shopping Cart. There are many different systems that are out there, and I run across new systems all the time. Trying to think of there's another one. Oh, GetResponse. I think Susan uses GetResponse. So there are all sorts of systems. You want to find the one that's going to work best for you. But today we're focused in on opt-in pages, so we'll talk a little bit about the web forms. But essentially, a web form, ultimately what a web form is it's HTML code. So your system is going to create the code, and then you copy and paste the code onto your web page and then save it. And that's going to put a form on your page that people can fill out. And when they fill that out, then that information is going to go over to your email marketing system. It's going to pass that information through to your system. And so now they come into your system as a new lead. And now you have that information to follow up on. And you can follow up manually, and you can also automate the process as well. So why have people opt in at all? Good question. Well, here's the thing. When you're trying to reach people online, if you don't have a way for you to know who's visiting your website, for instance, then they may come and they may go, and that's it. And if they come and go, then that's a missed opportunity, because you want to gather their information. You want to know who they are, so now you can follow up over time. You want to be able to build a relationship. So you have to develop mechanisms and means that when people go out to your website, that they fill out a form, and then you collect their information, and now you know who they are. Now you can follow up over time. And here's the thing. That information is extremely valuable, because in most cases, depending on who your audience is, you know, if you know a few details about a person, you can find them online. You can find more information about them. Now, obviously, if the person that you're trying to reach or learn about is in business, then it's probably more likely that you'll be able to find information about them online. But even people who are consumers who don't have a business, there's quite a bit of information about them as well. And so just going out and doing a Google search will often locate a person and allow you to find out more information about them. And I'm surprised how few people actually do that. They just kind of take what they take, and then that's it. I like to go out and do some searches and see what information I can find. Oftentimes I'll find a website. Sometimes I find websites where they posted stuff years ago. And oftentimes one piece of information leads to another. You have to be a little bit of a sales sleuth. You have to be a sales sleuth. You have to be like a detective, where you're searching for information. And, you know, a lot of people miss out on that opportunity. And I think part of the reason is they don't value the leads that they have. They don't value the people that are opting in. And so because of that, they don't take the extra time to go do a few searches and find them online. And, you know, I think that each one of the leads that I get is gold. And so if I have the time, then I'm going to go out and research and find more information about them and then follow up over time as well. And so when you get more sophisticated in your database, one of the things that you might do is you might add some fields into your database, custom fields, to allow you to capture certain information. One of the fields that I added to my database was for profession. And so that allows me to identify what profession they're in. And so you can come up with your own list. I have my own list. I'm interested to know whether people are coaches, speakers, trainers, consultants, network marketers, sales professionals. And so I have a list of people, and then I select it. And I think I pretty much have all the categories that I'm interested in filled. And for each person, it may be a little bit different in terms of what you want to, you know, how you would categorize somebody. But the main reason I'd want to do that is that so that I could go back out to them later, send an email just to a specific group of people. But I don't want to get too in-depth into the email marketing side of things since our focus here is on the opt-in pages. So where should you put your opt-in page? And by the way, as we go through the call today, I want to encourage you to go out in our Facebook group and post a comment and share your takeaways there and also ask questions. And so let's set a goal for the number of comments for today's call. Looks like we're already up to 12. So why don't we set a goal for today of 30? Let's set 30, and if we hit 30, then we'll just bump up the goal from there. And I see Roy is right on it and says comment goal 30, so great job, Roy. Now, in terms of where to put your opt-in page, in the beginning when I was running my business, oftentimes what I did is I would purchase a domain, and then I would put a lead capture page out on it. And Eric Laughlin has done this a number of times. He's gotten certain website addresses and then uses that to, put a lead capture page up, something like a free sales scripting report, .com. And the advantage of that is it gives you a website address that you could mention, you know, easily on, for instance, a conference call. And so that's one of the primary ways that Eric might share an opt-in page is if he's doing a conference call. He might have an audience of people he's talking to. They may not have opted in to his email list. And that's one thing to think about. You want to think about how you're reaching people. How are they likely to get to that page? See, for me, in a lot of cases, people might be clicking on a link through social media or through a forwarded email or somewhere online. I also use them on calls as well. But I wouldn't necessarily assume that you need to get a domain, a new domain, for each one of the lead capture pages that you create. So I do most of mine just off of my off of a website. So I'll give you an example of one. I have a free report on 7 steps to create a lead capture page, and that report is on as at socialmediaoutcomes.com/7steps, and that's with the number 7. STEPS. And so if I'm on a call or on an interview like on internet radio, then I could say, I could talk about opt-in pages or what I call lead capture pages. And then I could say, if you're interested in learning more about a lead capture page, then go out to my website and download a free report. And you can find that out, and that's 7 steps to create a lead capture page. Go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/7steps. And so then people hear that, then they type it in, they go out there, they fill out the form, and then they get access to the report. Now, so how do you entice people to opt in? That's the question. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, when you go out to websites, you might see that they have an opt-in form on their site, but what they're offering is not very compelling. A decade ago, what a lot of people were doing is they would say something like, sign up for my mailing list. And then they would have an opt-in box where people would fill it out. So that's not so effective anymore. It used to be that people were excited about that and they wanted to be on a mailing list, and so they would fill it out or maybe for a free newsletter. But these days, you know, people are motivated through instant gratification. They want to get access to something immediately. And it needs to be something that they want or something that they need. So part of what you have to do is create a need or create demand for what it is that you're offering. Now, so here's another question to think about. Should you use pop-up ads or pop-behind ads? So on your main website, you do have the opportunity, if you want to add pop-up ads. And so a pop-up ad would appear, for instance, if you go to somebody's website, either immediately or maybe about 10 or 15 seconds after you visit the site, then a pop-up ad will appear in front of the website. In some cases, it will just you know, eclipse the site behind it to where you can't even hardly read the text behind it. And so you have to do something with the pop-up. At the very least, you have to close it out. And so there are different styles of pop-ups. They're also pop-behind ads. And so pop-behind would not be visible actually until you close out your browser, and then you would see that there's a pop-behind ad there. It's just a message that would sit there, and then you have to decide how to respond to that. Now, once you have an opt-in page, what are your options to get people out there? Because this is not a case of build it and they will come. See, on the internet, you have to build it, and then you have to drive traffic to it. And so if you just focus on, you know, people are often amazed, like they set something up, and then like, well, why isn't it working? You know, there's nobody going and filling out the form. Absolutely. That's because you haven't done anything to drive traffic to it. So you have to, it's part of what you have to realize is that your reach is based in part on your network and your ability to get people to move from one site to another. So, for instance, social media would be a simple example. You can post a message out on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn or other sites, and then include a link to go back to a lead capture page. And so then people are motivated to click and then go out and get access to that, whatever is your free offer on that page. Now, if you don't have a very large list or a big social media network, then how do you get people out there? There are all sorts of ways, and I'll go through a few in a moment. But one of the ways that you can consider would be through paid advertising. You can use pay-per-click ads. And so for a lot of internet marketers, one of the strategies that they've used over the years is Google pay-per-click ads. So they're paying to have ads appear at the top of Google, and then people click on those ads, and then that takes them out to their lead capture page or some other web page. So at a certain point, you have to look at, you know, what are you doing, what's working, what's not working, and if you need to get more leads, then it might come down to having to spend some money to be able to get those leads. And that's still better than doing cold calls, for instance, because in the case of somebody clicking on an ad and then going out to your page and filling out the form, then number one, at least they are aware of you. They've requested some information, and so they won't be surprised when you follow up with them. Because ultimately, anything that you do online, you're probably going to want to take offline, meaning you want to ultimately pick up the phone and call them, pick up the phone and reach out to them. All right, so let me get into six different ways that you can get traffic to your opt-in page. So these are strategies and techniques to get visitors out to your page. So one way that you can utilize is a blog. You can write a blog post and you could include a link in your blog post that will take people out to your opt-in page. That's a great way to get people out there. And so if you don't have a blog, you definitely want to consider starting a blog, because one of the things that's nice about a blog is that as people are searching the internet, then it's possible they may come across your blog, find the information, but also see links, click on those links, and then go fill out the form. Another technique is social media. So I talked about that a moment ago. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest. There's all sorts of sites and many more that can be used where you can post information and then link back out to a lead capture page. And you want to be communicating on social media in multiple ways. In fact, let me do this right now. I'm going to post a message out on my Facebook page. Actually, I think I'll post it on my business page. All right, so let's do this at let me do it on the social media outcomes page. Going to take a minute to pull up here. So I will post the one that I shared earlier. and that's going to be 7 steps to create a lead capture page. So I want to walk you through the process of how I would share that page. So one moment.
All right. So I'm going to type a message in. So it's going to be, would you like to generate more leads online? Do you want to find more qualified prospects for your business? Learn a simple yet very effective strategy to learn a simple yet a very effective strategy to attract new prospects to opt in. Click here. And then I'm going to grab the link to the page and then pop it in. And if this works right, it will bring in a little image of the report. Now, when you're creating an opt-in page, you don't have to start off with a perfect opt-in page. So, by the way, if you go out, oh shoot, that's okay. I wanted to tweak it slightly, but I hit it too soon, but that's okay. So when you go out there to that page, you'll see a couple things. And I'll walk through in a moment and talk to you about the, I guess, the anatomy of a lead capture page or opt-in page. I'll talk about some of the things that you'll find on a page. And by the way, in a couple minutes, I'm going to go out and start reading some of the comments out on the Facebook page. We set a goal for 35 comments. I'll check back out there in about 5 minutes and start reading some of those comments. So if you have any questions, feel free to post them. I've shared two of the different ways to get traffic to your opt-in page. And let me share number three, and that is to utilize joint venture partners. Now, this is one of the best ways to get leads online, and I'm surprised that how few people are actually doing this or how few people are doing this effectively. So, you see, part of what you have to do if you want to increase your results online, you have to start off and you have to implement systems. If you don't have systems in place, then you're going to have a gap because when you go out to try to do joint ventures, then you're going to find that things are kind of difficult. So having systems in place online is going to, number one, it's going to make you a more attractive joint venture partner. But it's also going to make your life a whole lot simpler. If you have, for instance, an opt-in page where people can go fill it out, now you have something where people can simply go and fill out the form, and so people can share that. So I want to encourage you, by the way, if you would like to share any of my lead capture pages, I would encourage you to do that. So you can keep an eye out in the news feed when some of those pages pop in and go share those. And, you know, so you want to think about who you want to be helping and supporting online. And, you know, when people that you follow, when people that you are connected with, people that you've developed relationships, when they share things, you know, number one, like it. And this is on social media we're talking about here. And so, like on Facebook, like it. You can add a comment, and then you can also share it as well. So develop a habit of sharing things. You know, a lot of people are just, you know, posting their own things. And that's fine. You know, that's good for putting things out there. But keep an eye out for what other people are doing and share some of those as well. And in the process of doing that, that will often open the door for other people to share things for you. It's kind of an informal part of joint venturing, is just helping people out. And that will oftentimes lead to other things as well. In fact, I have an event that I will be doing next week that I'm going to be sharing out on social media over the next couple of days. I'm going to be hosting a webinar with Julia Neiman and also Robert Kennedy.
and that's going to be coming up next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And so I'll be sharing details on that coming up. And so they're, you know, two of my joint venture partners, people that I work with. And so if you have people that you partner with, then you can share details about them over time. And by the way, you're not limited to social media for sharing about joint venture partners. You can use email marketing as well. Now, another technique for getting people out to your opt-in page is social bookmarking. This is one that a lot of people have never even heard of. There are social bookmarking sites. So what is a social bookmarking site? Well, first of all, it's a website. Well, actually, let's define what a bookmark is first. So you've probably seen bookmarks, like if you go into your browser, you might click on a button to add a bookmark or a favorite, and that way it makes it easy for you to find that site again in the future. So it's kind of like a breadcrumb. It allows you to, you know, click and then go back out to that site, even if you forgot what the website address is. Now, social bookmarking is where you create bookmarks, but because normally you're the only one who would see your bookmarks. It's on your computer. But with a social bookmark, not only can you see it, but other people can see it as well. And many social bookmarking sites, they will also have followers or fans. So people are connected to you, and they will be able to see your bookmarks. And in addition to that, other people can probably search and see them as well. And, you know, an example of this would be a site like Delicious. Delicious.com is a social bookmarking site. Another one of the sites, and let me see if I can find my link. I always I need to make this site more accessible. I have an account through Tumblr, and for a while I wasn't posting much content at all, and then now I'm posting more because I'm using Instagram to post to it. So if you're not familiar with Instagram, it's a social media site which allows you to post pictures. And so it's becoming more and more popular. And so it's a great tool that you can use that will give you an opportunity to be able to, you know, reach more people. So let's see. It's not wanting to pull up, but I'll get the link here for Tumblr to share it. If you have not checked it out, the way I would describe Tumblr, it's kind of like a social media site and kind of like a blog. And so you can add posts there just like you could through a blog or like you could through, you know, through Facebook, for instance. It is kind of heavily oriented toward pictures, which is one of the reasons it integrates nicely with Instagram. And so one of the things you want to think about doing in your social media, by the way, is leveraging the content that you have. When you share something, it might make sense in some cases for you to share it on multiple sites at the same time. I don't suggest you do that for everything, but there is a value in doing that for some things. So, but for me, you know, that's great because, you know, instead of having to go, you know, a month or two without anything being posted in my Tumblr account, I can just add something to Instagram and then share it there. Okay, so I'm finding my way back over to the Facebook group, and I'm going to post the link here for Tumblr because I found it. And so this might be something that some of you want to check into. So here is my Tumblr account. Now, one thing I will mention, I don't have a huge presence on Tumblr. I've been using it for like 2 years, and I have 7 followers. So it doesn't seem to be doing much of a job in attracting people in, but and I'm not sure exactly why that is. I haven't quite mastered that. But you know, there seem to be a lot of people who have a presence on there and do have a base of followers. There's clearly some kind of attraction strategy to finding people through Tumblr that I'm missing right now. And that's okay because, you know, here's the thing. Nobody's an expert in all the different systems. Nobody is perfect in all systems. Most people have one or two sites that they prefer working with and where they're continually growing their network. And that's okay. And it's also okay to dabble in some other sites as well because, see, if I didn't have the Tumblr account, then when I set up an Instagram account, I wouldn't have known that I could integrate Instagram in with Tumblr. And that's one of the things you want to look at. See, sometimes there's a piece of the puzzle that you have, and then you're missing the other piece. And then suddenly the other piece appears, and then it's like, oh, okay, now I know why I have a Tumblr account, because now I can integrate my Instagram, and I can post my pictures over there. So now I have other things going out there. See, part of what you're trying to do online is build a bigger presence. You know, everything that you post on the internet, that's going to lead back to you in some way. That's, you know, your little thumbnail image out there. And you never know what is going to produce results. Now, obviously, you will know if you track and measure. So if you're actually, you know, figuring out where traffic is coming from, where people are, you know, visiting first and then clicking and then going out, then that will help you identify. But ultimately, remember, our topic today is around opt-in pages. So ultimately, all roads lead toward the opt-in page, right? All roads lead toward the opt-in page. That doesn't necessarily mean that the only thing we post online is our links to our opt-in pages, but we want to keep coming back to that idea. If you have an opt-in page, you need to be sharing it on a regular basis. And if you only have one opt-in page, then one of the homework assignments you have is to create another one. If you have two, create a third. If you have three, create a fourth. Keep adding more. And, you know, creating an opt-in page, we'll talk about the specifics here in a moment. I've kind of gotten a little deep into a couple other topics here, but I want to just give you a few, you know, extra strategies as we're talking here. But let me take a moment now and go out and read some of the posts, and then I'll come back and continue on with the concept of the opt-in page and talk about that. Susan says, I'm just getting ready to set up a new opt-in page tonight, so I'm looking forward to seeing if Rick has anything new to tell us about the subject. Awesome. Roy says, today's module, opt-in pages. Roy says, I had an article assignment last week to write an article on landing pages. Awesome. And Susan, Roy, if you didn't already share it, feel free to share that article, or it might still be in process. Susan says, become a visual content marketing superstar in 3 simple steps. And then she's got a link out to her free report. I asked people to share their links out earlier. If you have not shared yours, feel free to do that. Thanks for sharing, Susan. And then she posts another one, taming and slaying the content marketing dragon game. And then she includes a link out to her site as well. So thanks for sharing that. And let's see those links, by the way. One was presentationswithresults.com/visual content, visual-content-marketing-tips. It's a little lengthy, but that works. And then the other one is presentationswithresults.com/content-dragon. That's a lot shorter and easier, so thanks for sharing that. And by the way, that is a component. Is that you want to make those website addresses easy to write down and remember. So oftentimes for those, I will not put dashes in them. Like normally for search engine optimization purposes or SEO, you put dashes in between words, and that makes it easier to find. But, and again, this comes back to how do you think you're going to be utilizing this? If you're planning on saying it a lot and telling people, then, you know, make it as simple and short as possible. As far as the website address. But if you're just going to be linking online, then it's okay to have that. Or if you're expecting to get a lot of traffic from search engines, then the dashes are good. Real Cook is here and says, hello. Susan says, yes, I do use GetResponse. Good memory, Rick. Thanks. Alan says, opt-in pages gather information about people who visit your site. Yes. Alan says, treat all your leads like gold. Yeah, I like that. Alan says, where should you put your opt-in page? Absolutely. That was one of the questions we covered. Roy said, comment goal 30. Oh, and we've surpassed the 30 goal, so let's bump it up to 55. See if we can hit 55 by the end of the call today. Real says, if you don't have your own free report, et cetera, then you can use somebody else's with their permission. Yes. You know, I would put that into the realm of a joint venture partner. If you have somebody else that you want to support and want to share their page, then that's fine. Absolutely. Susan says, I think it depends on whether you're posting the URL online or in print, or if you're mentioning it verbally on a teleseminar, radio interview, or live talk. Yeah, absolutely. That will affect what you name those website addresses. And Alan says, you don't necessarily need a separate domain name for each lead capture page. Yeah, You don't need that. A lot of people think you have to, but that kind of increases your costs and your complexity and everything else when you have to create, you know, get a new domain for each one of your pages. I like to do things that are simple, repeatable, and duplicatable. And so if I can create multiple lead capture pages simply and easily using my existing website, then I'm going to do that. Roy shares the link out to my free report on 7 steps to create a lead capture page at socialmediaoutcomes.com/7steps. Thanks for sharing that, Roy. All right, let's dive into just talking about that page. So if you've clicked on the link and you've gone out to the page, I want to just take you through it step by step and talk about what's involved in creating a lead capture page. Now, by the way, I'll tell you right up front, the tool that I use to create lead capture pages is called OptimizePress. And there is the original version of OptimizePress, which is now called OptimizePress 1. And then there's the new version, which is called OptimizePress 2. And I'm using OptimizePress 1, and I have a couple clients that I'm supporting with OptimizePress 2. The new version, the OptimizePress 2, uses what are called responsive pages. And that is a tool or technique that is mobile friendly. Because in a lot of cases when, you know, if you're on a mobile device and you go out to a page, it's not very user friendly. The print is really small. You have to expand it. And so responsive pages are designed to be able to pull up and open up in a mobile device to where it's easy to read. So that's something to consider. If you're at that stage of being ready to get a tool like that, then, you know, write down those words, responsive pages, and think about getting that, because you know, a lot of people are accessing things on a mobile device these days. I'm using mobile more myself to access things, so I'm noticing that more, some things are easier than others to read. So the first component I would say on a lead capture page is the banner at the top. The banner is optional. You don't need a banner. You can have a personally branded banner, which is what I have on this page, or you could have just a plain banner with the words on there. Like in this, I think when I originally launched this page, it just said 7 steps to create a lead capture page. Now I have my picture on there. It says Rick Cooper, online marketing expert. It has 7 steps to create a lead capture page. It has a value proposition or USP. Learn my step-by-step process to generate leads online. It's got a little graphic that says special report, and then it has social media outcomes on there. So the banner is the first component. The second component is the headline. And there are three potential headlines, although with the newer version of OptimizePress, you could really have more than that if you wanted to, but after a certain point, you know, when does it move from becoming a headline just to the straight copy on the page? But in the older version, they had what was called a pre-headline, a headline, and a sub-headline. The pre-headline is first, the main headline is in the middle, and the sub-headline is below that. And, you know, by the way, each of the components on your page, you can use color or you can use black text if you want to. You know, one of the things in web design, you don't want to use too many different types of colors. It starts to become distracting. And so you don't want your design to become the focus of, you know, what people are looking at. You want them to be reading rather than, you know, noticing, you know, what the page looks like. So oftentimes in the pre-headline, I will identify the audience. So on this particular page, it says, attention, business owners, sales professionals, network marketers, and public speakers. So oftentimes I'll include a list of different types of people or people in professions as a means of saying, hey, if you fall into one of these categories, then you're in the right place. Then the main headline is where I lay out what it is that they're going to get and have a call to action. So I have a call to action right in the headline. And in this one it says, get instant access now to a free report on 7 steps to create a lead capture page and learn how to attract customers and generate leads. So I'm telling them, get instant access now. That's a call to action. I'm telling them what it is to a free report. I'm telling them what the free report is about on 7 steps to create a lead capture page. And then I'm also including a benefit statement. I'm saying, and learn how to attract customers and generate leads. Focus on benefits. Tell people what they're going to get. And then the subheadline has some other information in it. In this case, it says, warning, this one strategy may generate more leads than you can handle. So, you know, it's a little bit gimmicky, but I like to do that in some of my marketing. But if that's not your style, then you can choose something different. If it's a teleseminar registration page, oftentimes I'll say something like, register now for the teleseminar and also receive access to the audio recording. So it can just be used to provide some additional information. Oftentimes the pre-headline, by the way, might be used if you set up a lead capture page just for one specific audience. So sometimes what I'll do, I'll either put it in the main headline or in the pre-headline, something like, Joe Smith invited you to get access to my free report on blah, blah, blah. So you can customize pages so that when people land there, then they go, oh, I know Joe. And so now that increases the credibility. It does mean more work on your end because you have to create multiple custom pages, but in some cases that might be worth it. And oftentimes if you're working with bigger players, then they might even request that or demand that. Then the rest of what's on the page either falls into the category of copy, which are words on the page, words that are persuasive and influential, graphics, and in this case I have a graphic of an e-report or an e-book there, so it makes it more tangible. People can see that. And then the opt-in form, which is the web form that comes from your email marketing system. In this case, it has a set of arrows pointing down. It says, get your free report now. Enter your contact information below. And then it has fields for first and last name, email address, phone, and then a big button that says get instant access. And then below that, I have a bio, and so that's a best practice is to include your bio, and I'm actually seeing one thing I need to tweak on that page, too. Actually, two things I see that I need to tweak. Let me just make a quick note here. Oftentimes, as I'm teaching, I discover little things. Update bio. Okay, so I'll fix that. And the other thing is at the very bottom of the page, if you scroll down to the very bottom, you notice that there are two links at the bottom. And by the way, on an opt-in page, one of the characteristics is that there are no external links. So you can't click to go anywhere else. And the only exception are the two links at the bottom, which are a terms and conditions page and a privacy policy, which are best practices in internet marketing, is to have those links on your pages. All right, let me go ahead and pop back over to the Facebook page and continue reading here. So Alan says, how do you entice people to opt in? Create demand for what you're offering. Offer something of value. Absolutely. Real Cook says, how does that work, Alan? Separate domain name? As far as the offering or enticing people to opt in, it's through a free offer. Creating some kind of a free offer. In this case, I created a free report. You can also create a free audio program. You can create a free video. You could create a checklist or some other kind of list in a PDF format. There's all sorts of things that you can do. You just need to be creative, but ultimately it needs to focus on something that people are going to want. And so it's getting into the heads of your consumer, of your customer, of your potential customer, and thinking about what it is that they need and then create something for them. It's usually going to be an information product, but there are other things that it could be. It could be a registration page for a teleseminar, a webinar, or a live event. It could also be a page to talk to you. It could be for a free coaching session or a free consultation or some other free meeting with you. But essentially, it is something for free, and they fill out the form, and then they get access to it. By the way, it could also be for a free service, and that's not something that I would usually recommend because usually you don't want to be giving away free services, but I have seen that done before where people fill out a form and then people will offer a service to them. So, that for some people that might be something interesting to do. If it's something that you can do relatively quickly and easily and that would help further the sales process, then it might be worth doing. Alan says, although, by the way, if you do that, I might put a little disclaimer on there that you have the right to refuse it, or I wouldn't use that language, but basically something like, for those who qualify, you will receive blah, blah, blah. And that way you're putting a little statement on there that's saying, hey, not everybody's going to get this. You have to qualify. And by the way, that could actually give a good reason to have them fill out a survey as a next step. And that could even be a free offer, is to have them fill out a survey too. Alan says, offer a free report, an ebook, a tip sheet, getting started in blank, or a pony. A pony, that's funny. I like that. Roy says, ways to drive traffic. Six different ways to get traffic to your opt-in page. Real says, what does blog stand for? Just curious. Well, actually, it doesn't stand for anything, but it is short for weblog. Weblog. W-E-B-L-O-G. And basically, one way to think about a blog is like it's like an online diary. It's like a Dear Diary where you post little entries in your diary for specific days. But business owners have adapted blogs for business purposes. A key component to a blog is when you post to your blog, then it includes a time and date stamp. And in some cases, I think you could even turn that off. But in most cases, you'll at least see a day, like a month and a day on there. Roy says, number two, social media. Roy says, weblog. So he actually put it on there. And then Real says, then what is a vlog? Well, that stands for a video log, which would be a video blog. Or did I just say the same thing? I might have. I'm getting a little bit tired. So, like a video weblog would be a vlog. And so the way you do that is you create videos. Like you could use your phone to create a video. You upload it to YouTube. And then there's a place where you can go on there, click share, and then click on embed, and then copy the code, and then post it out onto your blog. And then now you have a vlog. Years ago, there used to be specific software just for vlogs, but the blogging platforms have adapted over the years, and so the main system that I use is WordPress, and so you can add video to a blog easily without hassle. So that term is out there, although it's not really used much anymore for that reason. Alan says, weblog, I think, like an internet newsletter, journal, articles, stories, latest new with you. Absolutely. Roy says, video log. Yep. And then, or video blog, depending on which etymology you follow. And Roy says, same idea. Number three, JV partners. By the way, let me go back. I think we still have a few more on the list. I have to figure out where I left off. I talked about social bookmarking. So let me give you number five and number six here. Number five is Craigslist and other websites. And number six is event marketing. And I talked a little bit about event marketing earlier. I said, I talked about event marketing as a way of a form of opt-in page. But you can use event marketing, like you could do events, and then you can invite people to a free offer as well. So that's another way to drive traffic, is people that are on a live event with you, you can send them out to a page. And by the way, if you're doing live events, remember also that oftentimes people have a phone with them. And so oftentimes they can input a website address and then go out and opt in for something. And this would also be a case where having a mobile app would be a good idea as well. In fact, Eric Lofholm has a mobile app for saleschampion.com. What graphics should you add to an opt-in page? One of the things would be to actually create a graphic for whatever it is that you have. Like if it's an audio, it might have a little CD image. If it's a video, it might have like the little play screen on YouTube where it looks like you could click on the button to play it. And for a free report, then it would be something like a little ebook image. Those would be a few examples. But there are also other graphics that you can put on there as well. If you have a lot of copy on your opt-in page, then you might want some graphics. Another graphic that you can add is your picture, which you put next to your bio. And if you have testimonials, you could put pictures of your clients. When should you use a video on an opt-in page? Good question. You would want to use a video. I would say you don't necessarily have to have a video on a page. One of the reasons you might want to is if your audience responds to video, then that might be beneficial. In most cases, I wouldn't just have the video play automatically. That's sometimes annoying. You could do that, but it's one of those things in marketing where ultimately you need to test and measure and see which gets the best results. Try opt-in pages with video and without video and see which pulls best. And then that might give you the formula for what to use. But I will say that having a video will build trust and rapport faster than just strictly text, because it allows people to play a video and, you know, hear from you directly and allow you to make a personal, give a personal call to action, make a plea to go out and opt in to get access to the resource. So you can, you know, build more value over that period of time. And also, I mean, let's face it, you know, people are getting, you know, a little bit lazy. People don't like to read a lot of text. And so if they could just click a button and watch a video, oftentimes they'll do that. So I'm sure somebody's going to post that in the group. best practices for an opt-in page. Well, I think all the things that I shared with you earlier, the anatomy of an opt-in page, those are best practices. And you know, the world of online marketing, internet marketing continues to change and adapt. And so part of best practices is making sure that you have the right tools in place so that you can make effective pages. Okay, so let me go back out to the group and read a couple more comments here. Alan says, cheese log. That one I do understand. Yeah, that's good. Alan says, share Rick's opt-in pages, announcing something. Yep. My pages or other pages. Alan says, sharing is caring. There you go. I think that's Barney the dinosaur. Real says, cheese. Alan says, can lead to reciprocity. Yes, absolutely. Alan says, social bookmarking. Others can see your bookmarks of sites you like and then check them out. Absolutely. Alan says, Tumblr is like a blog and social media site, uses a lot of pictures. There you go. And then I added my link out there to Tumblr. Alan says, you can create something in Instagram and share it in Tumblr. Yeah, you can also share it to Facebook and Twitter. Alan says, build a bigger presence online through multiple types of sites. Alan says, all roads should lead to your opt-in page. Yeah, you want to funnel toward the opt-in page. Roy says, the article was for a client. I can't post it until it goes public. Ah, I see. Okay, no problem. All right, doing a refresher here. And I think our goal again was 55. We bumped it up to, and we are at, that can't be right. Hang on. Let's make sure I'm getting to there. One here. 61. Hey, we hit our goal for today. Awesome. Good job. Our new and revised goal. You guys are on it today. Looks like Roy and Alan and Real are leading the charge with Susan in there and I think one or two others. All right, so let me continue back. Susan says, that one URL I shared was part of an online report sharing event, so I wasn't worried about how long it was. Plus, the name I gave was an important keyword for me, so I put the dashes in between. Got it. Roy said, some business sites have dozens of opt-in pages for different reports. Yeah, absolutely. Optimized Press was originally a theme and now has a plugin. Yes, in fact, I just installed Optimized Press as a plugin for a client. Ran into a few snafus, but I got through the technical challenge, and so now I'm using it. Susan says, Real Cook, what do you mean by consumable product? And I missed that original comment, I think, so I'm not sure what that was referring to. Roy said, banner can be the first optional component of a lead capture page. Yeah. Roy said, headline is the next component. Roy said, headline can be supported by the pre-headline and a sub-headline. Yeah, the main headline can be supported by it. And by the way, like a new version of Optimized Press, you can add headlines anywhere you want. So in addition to the headlines at the top of a page, you can also add a headline above a section. So you can use headlines as a way to grab attention and focus into a particular section. Headlines are also, on a headline like that, then you're not necessarily making a straight call to action, but you're making more of a statement that gets them focused into what you're going to share in that particular section. Or you can also use it to make a bold claim, like this one strategy alone could earn you $1 million... that's kind of grabs your attention. You go like, what strategy? Now you're reading it, digging through, trying to find what the strategy is. So think about using curiosity in your marketing. Looks like we have about 2 minutes left before we're wrapping up the call here, so I'll just continue on. Roy said, select colors for readability, emphasis, and emotional impact, right? And also make sure that they don't contrast each other too much. Roy said, you can use pre-headlines to customize pages for different niche audiences. Real said, got knocked off the internet. I'm back. Awesome. Welcome back, Real. Roy said, squeeze page type of opt-in page has no or minimal external link options. Yes. Roy said, the log part of blogs and vlogs has the connotation of a diary, referring to the chronological nature of posts as distinct from traditional web pages, which are not normally organized by date. There you go. That's a concise answer from Roy. Roy said, so in a blog program such as WordPress, you have the option of creating content in post form or in page form. Yeah, good point. You can do both pages or posts in WordPress. Roy said the post option has different indexing and archiving options than pages. And also test videos on opt-in pages to see what results you get. And then Susan says, it is true, most people don't like to read a lot online. We've become a culture of skimmers and video watchers. Yep, absolutely. All right, well, looks like we're at the top of the hour right now, so time to wrap up. So I want to get you to think for a moment about number one, do you have an opt-in page that you need to create? Do you have an opt-in page at all? If you do not, then this might be a project you want to work on. This is one of the simplest first things that I would do. I mean, if you're not doing much online besides, say, social media, then I would think about creating a lead capture page, an opt-in page, because if you do that, number one, you're going to need an email marketing system, so that might force you finally to get an email marketing system. And for a lot of people, they're just kind of floating around in the breeze trying to figure out what to get. And so, you know, sometimes creating some pressure on yourself to accomplish a deliverable or achieve a result helps to get you to take action on and make decisions like that. So decide what you need to do over the next week. If you want to work on a lead capture page, you don't necessarily have to get the whole thing done, but I would encourage you to take that on as a project and work on it. Maybe at least start working on your free offer. Because that's a real key piece to that. So on that note, let's go ahead and wrap up the call today. So I want to thank you for joining me on the Sales Technology Training Call. Have a great week, and God bless.